Hello and thank you for joining us for episode 16 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Alex Stewart.
And I'm Harrison Ownby. Today we are in the laboratory of Al's Imaginarium that he inherited from his great-grandfather, Dr. Marvinaceous Stewart.
That's right. He used all of his money from his root beer empire to create a place where dreams and imagination come to life. And for this episode, we're going to be using one of the inventions made by the famous Dr. Sneck and his group of world-class Imaginarians. Dr. Sneck, will you explain to our listeners what's going to be happening today?
Indeed. We will be using a brand new technology that was developed right here in the Imaginarium. It's called the World-Altering Life Transmogrifier, or the WALT for short.
So what's going to essentially be happening is we're going to start by altering our world as we know it to that of the world in 1959. Will then be transmogrified into two guys who would fit perfectly into that era, so as not to confuse the realism AI of the program.
I'm beyond excited to use this technology to explore the Disneyland of the 50s, and what better attraction to explore than the Davy Crockett Explorer canoes in the midst of Davy Crockett fever.
Dude, there's something that just bleeds 1950s Americana about that attraction.
Are you ready for your adventure through transmogrification?
Yeah, we are, Doctor. We're ready. Hit it, hit it.
Whoa! Oh!
Did it work?
Sure did. Dude, look around us. We look like we're surrounded by extras in, like, an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
We look like extras in an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Nice digs, Harry.
Hey, back at you, daddy-o. I'll work on my 50s lingo.
Whoa, there it is! The Indian War canoes.
So, I think the WALT might be broken. Why is it called the Indian War canoes?
Because we're in 1959, man.
Oh, that's right. The attraction wasn't named the Davy Crockett Explorer canoes until 1971.
Exactly. Now, hurry, let's get in line.
Man, this area looks way different in 1959 than it does in the 21st century.
Well, that's because...
we are actually in Frontierland right now. I forgot that Frontierland stretched all the way over here back when the park first opened.
That's right. We, my friend, are in the heart of the Indian Village. They made this area as part of the 1956 expansion. They sunk $100,000 of that $2 million budget just into this area of the park. So tell me, is it everything you thought it would be?
It is everything I thought it would be and more. And it's so cool because I remember they decided to open the canoes on July 4th of that year, the anniversary of this great country.
Yes-sirree, Bob. Yeah, it looks like it's time to board our canoes. Speaking of these canoes, these things are made of fiberglass and are a whopping 35 feet long.
Not real wood?
Sadly, not real wood.
Well, I guess that lack of realism can be made up for by the fact that our two fearless guides are full-blooded Native Americans. They adopted this idea of hiring those who are actual natives of the land or area represented down at Epcot as well. For instance, when you go to Norway, you will be greeted by Norwegian-born cast members. Just another way that Disney tries to fully immerse you.
Indeed. And speaking of immersion, from what I hear, our boats actually aren't connected to an underwater track, are they?
No, we're not. We're completely free-floating. And this is the only attraction in Disneyland where we use our own muscle to propel ourselves along. No motors, no tracks. It's all the people in the boat and your guide.
That's awesome and super rare. It now makes sense that when they loaded us onto these boats, they made sure that we were properly balanced on both sides. Since we sit side by side on here, I imagine it'd be easy for us to tip over if we actually weren't properly weighted.
Precisely. Notice how the guides got in the front of the canoe and at the back. I've heard the guy in the front is the bowsman, and the guy in the back is the sternsman. Together, they are the bowsmen.
Speaking of that, I noticed that there aren't actually any female cast members in sight on this attraction.
Again, because it is 1959. It is insane because female cast members didn't operate the omnibus, Jungle Cruise boats, the Disneyland Railroad, or this here canoe until 1995. Conversely, men didn't operate storybook land boats until that same year either.
That is crazy. Man, times have changed. Hey, look, it's like we're about to push off.
Man, this is a workout, isn't it?
It sure is. How long do we paddle for?
Well, we will paddle through roughly 2,400 feet of the rivers of America, and that should take us about 20 minutes or so. We've been pedaling for about 10 minutes, so we are about halfway there. So far, it has been awesome seeing all the cool animals and the Native American village, but just up ahead is one of the coolest things about this attraction.
The Burning Cabin! Dude, this cabin has a crazy history here in the park. As you can see up there, the thing is completely ablaze, unforgiving flames violently licking the sky. And in this iteration of the cabin, there's a settler lying on the ground right over there outside the cabin with an arrow sticking out of him.
Wow, that's pretty gruesome.
It really is, especially for Disneyland. Yesterland.com actually has an awesome spread of the history of this cabin. The story behind why this cabin is burning has changed a ton with the times. As we see it here, the torching is a result of hostile Native Americans in this area. But in the 1970s, the Disney Company became more cognizant of the fact that the current iteration of the cabin wasn't a very culturally sensitive depiction of Native American culture. So they changed the reason behind the burning cabin. This time, they said the old settler was sadly one who ended up getting on the bad side of some river pirates, and they were the ones who torched the place. Then, a decade later, the cabin was depicted as a moonshiner's hideout. Apparently, his still has exploded and caught his cabin on fire. This iteration also said the character outside who was once dead was actually just drunk off his own product.
That's way better.
I know. Talk about Disney-fying it. Finally, in the 1990s, they placed an eagle's nest close to the cabin, and the true peril was the fact that the eagle's nest was about to catch fire from the burning cabin.
Never mind that the settler's home is on fire. Save the nest.
I know. So back in 2016, when our real world exists, the cabin hasn't been ablaze for quite some time. In fact, the rivers of America are currently closed, and it's not quite sure what the fate of the cabin is going to be.
Well, thankfully, we get to experience its blazing glory now.
And speaking of experiences, we're getting to experience this attraction while it's still part of Frontierland.
That's right. This is the only attraction in all of Disneyland that has actually changed lands three times without ever moving.
You've got to explain how that works.
So at first, the landing area for the canoes was part of Frontierland, but then in 1972, the area became Bear Country, so that's the second area. Finally, in 1989, the area became Critter Country, thus making these here canoes part of three different areas in the park without ever even moving.
That is like the epitome of hilarious Disney trivia.
Isn't it?
Man, we're already almost all the way around Tom Sawyer's Island, but I don't want this adventure to end.
It really is a super fun, super unknown, super underrated attraction. It's one of those that you never want to see leave the park simply because of the nostalgia of Disneyland's past it represents.
That kind of explains why everybody freaked out back in 1998 when they closed the attraction toward the end of the summer.
Well, that's not such a big deal because the canoes at that time were seasonal anyway.
That's true, but the canoes closed before their season ended, which sparked rumors that they were gone for good.
Yikes.
Yeah, some people feared that the Disney Company didn't think the canoes made sense to operate since they could only carry 20 people and require two cast members, to operate.
Well, I can see their point, but I remember that after almost a year of being closed, they reopened the canoes in the summer of 1999, and they've been running year-round ever since. Though really only on busy days and through the summer months.
So, exactly. Next time you're in the park, folks, make a point to ride on this piece of Disney history.
Well, and it was imagined by Walt Disney himself, so
yeah.
You'll know that you're riding something that was imagined by the creator of the place. Through the years, the Davy Crockett Explorer canoes has survived one retheming, three land changes, and six decades of life at Disneyland, and managed to still be a perennial favorite for locals and tourists alike. Though the Rivers of America is currently closed to make way for the Star Wars experience, it is our hope that these free-floating canoes remain part of the Rivers of America for many more happy years to come. Well, it looks like we're heading back to the dock. Man, this was such an awesome adventure through the Disneyland of yore.
Hello, gentlemen. Are you ready to exit the simulation?
We are, Dr. Sneck. Sad to go, though. Folks, thank you so much for joining us on this journey back to the Disneyland of 1959. We have had an absolute blast, and we hope you join us next time as we continue to explore the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions.
Before we go, folks, please do us a huge favor and give us a rating over on iTunes. It really does help us become more visible to other folks out there in internet land. I shouldn't say that too loud. People around here might not know what that is.
Okay, sounds so like also, the worst please, Disneyland land.
Internet land. So also follow us on Instagram and Twitter by searching The Backside of Water. So until next time, as you exit, please watch your head and watch your step.
And if you happen to miss your step and hit your head, please watch your language. Take us back to the future, Dr. Sneck.